Now it's time for Very Serious Football Talk with the man who met his wife on a blind date, chaperoned by his parents.
They actually came along on the first date with us. That was a...
No!
I rode in the back seat. I was 22.
The man who needs to take a minute to remember the names of all of his children.
Do all of your kids have the same first letter?
No, actually. Let me think. Do any of them? Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
The man who can defend you in court, but will probably choose not to.
I'll capture this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
Good grief, he's a pastor too? When does this guy sleep?
You will find Seth Geiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
It's Seth Geiser of The Athletic on Almost Entirely Sports.
It's Tuesday, so we're joined by our friend Seth Geiser of The Athletic right now, right here on Almost Entirely Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. There are a couple of new articles from Seth up on The Athletic since the last time we talked. But Seth, I do happen to know that you and your family have an incredible sense of timing whenever it leads to potentially needing to be in hospital-type situations.
Yes, we have awesome timing with that. My son Mason's having his appendix yanked out as we speak.
It's just, I mean, there's not a good time to need an emergency appendectomy, but this is one of the worst ones, it seems like.
My wife sent me pictures of the room. It's a very nice room. So,
oh, that's good.
You know.
Is she also going to take pictures of your son's medical procedures, or is that a Seth exclusive experience?
That's only when she gets me to agree to take a picture, even, because I'm all on morphine and Dilaudid and stuff, and then she allows me unfettered access to my phone thereafter, in which my mind wanders as to what is a good idea and what is not. So I'm guessing no, because Mason, my 11-year-old, he would never be stupid enough to post things like that, whereas his father... I still have people calling me all kinds of things over that. Some people were very offended, but, people are always offended, so I'm not too worried about that. I have actually decided that this would be a great time to have a disc slip in my back. And so I am currently iced, baby. I'm like sitting on my bed just icing up like there's no tomorrow. I suppose you're a young guy. You probably don't know much about that, do you?
Tell me again, what's the ailment that you have called?
A slipped disc. It's also a bulging disc in your back.
A bulging what was that?
A bulging? Well, no, I said I have a bulging. You know what? Oh, man, there's too many directions this could go. A bulging disc.
I just wanted to, Seth, I'm worried about you. You know, you're my friend, and I care about your health. And also, apparently, your issue with your disc, your disc problems.
Yeah. Well, it is bulging. So, I'll tell you, I played football with my kids, and my back was already hurting, but they were very excited. So I was like, I'll play. What's the worst that could happen? And since then, I've barely been able to get out of bed, so that's been fun. Basically, these are things, Josh, I'm so excited for you in, 5 to 10 years when these things start happening to you, and you're like, wow, this sucks. Because you know what? Yeah. It does suck.
I occasionally get heartburn now, every once in a while, or sometimes I'll just, I think I mentioned this, I might have mentioned this on Times Ours on The Athletic. You can subscribe to that anywhere you get your podcasts. It's up at The Athletic. Go to athletic.com/TimesOurs if you want to sign up for 40% off The Athletic. It's me, Seth, and Nate Taylor. A few days ago, I had, Chinese food for lunch, and it was all fine, and I maybe shouldn't have eaten the whole order, but it wasn't six orders. It was a lunch order of Chinese food, and then I had a stomach ache for 2 days.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's not supposed to happen.
I mean, one would imagine not. I'm not sure what that's about. I personally can eat about as much as I ever could, but that's a whole other ball of wax.
We've gone through the McDonald's thing. That we've covered.
You need a good probiotic and digestive enzyme in your life, my friend.
Well, so this would be a very fun conversation because I actually almost like, well, you know what? Have you ever heard of psyllium husk? And that's, I don't think we want to actually, for all of the things I do enjoy talking about on this radio show that are either tangentially or not specifically sports, I can't imagine that anybody listening wants to hear a conversation about digestive anythings, really. Anything digestive.
Well, don't you remember when we all grabbed barbecue the last time I was in town?
Oh,
my
yes.
wife offered digestive enzymes to everyone, and it was like cow something.
I don't remember it being cow anything. What?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We didn't tell you. Yeah, it's a cow, not saliva, but
what?
Basically some kind of cow secretion that they used to break stuff down. Because you took it, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I did not take the pills that your wife offered me. I couldn't verify what they were. And
had I called a woman in her young 30s old, I probably wouldn't take anything she offered me either.
That's right. That's why I needed you to take it first, like the royal food tester, and find out is that safe or not. And then I forgot about it.
You have me? I don't think you want me. Maybe my sister. Jazz likes my sister. Like, I don't know if you want me to be the one, depending on the day. She might be like, you could probably take it. We'll see what happens.
We'll find out. Now's a cool time to be in the hospital. We're all doing it. There's no reason not to
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and just for what it's worth, if there are people who are worried, like, you know, I referenced my son and think I'm being callous, he's fine. He's really okay. The hospital's here. We're living in an entirely different world here in the rural Midwest. In terms of what's going on, you've got like you have very few cases in Minnesota, particularly the northern, and so hospital. It's just a whole different ball game. So he's fine. I appreciate everyone who's actually concerned. If they sound like a jerk joking around about it, well, maybe you sound like the jerk, Josh.
I don't mean to. I feel like I can sound like a jerk and actually be concerned, though. I feel like that's kind of my whole brand, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You honestly, people need to learn to laugh about tough times because otherwise, I don't know, what are you going to do? Cry, I guess?
Yeah, weep incessantly. Yeah, that's the alternative.
Weep incessantly. Nobody likes that guy.
Okay, so here's the other thing. I know that you've taken a look at this, and I have it up on my second monitor, so I will not forget. Do you want to save the pick three fast food little graph thing for the end as sort of the dessert, or do you want to do that and then go chiefy?
Let's talk sports for a while. I'm
okay.
always happy to talk fast food at the end. We still haven't figured out, I don't know if any listeners have come up with an idea, for a way for you and me to, like, you know, do the McDonald's challenge thing somehow together and make it really worth something to try to, you know, do something for a charity or something like that. The minute someone finds a good idea for that, that ends with me potentially being able to tase you, I am so all in on this. And so anyone who's listening right now, think of a good charity idea, something, anything. Anything will do, really. So, yeah.
All right. I was sort of hoping that idea would be forgotten, but I feel like we might go a decade without live sports again, and I feel like you would continue to be
right.
Can we tase Josh yet? We are living here in a post-apocalyptic world. It's Mad Max, and your weapon of choice is a taser just waiting for the day that you can turn it against me.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. You got to remember, I work in the child protection field, Josh. The amount of latent aggression I have to take out on people is just off the charts. You seem like you can take it. You've got a good sense of humor. So if there's any way for me to unload some of that, it's like a pressure release valve. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't lose my mind on the people I deal with on a daily basis. And occasionally I let off a little steam by tasing a good buddy.
Also, by the way, @latentaggression is available on Twitter right now. If you want to hop on that really quick, I don't know if you want to. I don't know if you need the change. You know, really, I mean, Chiefs fans have been pretty good for you so far. But @latentaggression, that's at least like a Reddit username or something. That's fantastic.
I do like that. I do like that. I wonder if they'd be willing to verify that.
I feel like they probably would. So yeah, let's go ahead and zag while everyone else is zigging. Let's talk about the Chiefs. then we'll talk about fast food. We'll sandwich it together that way. You've written two articles since we talked on here last, and also we haven't talked to you about Sammy Watkins to this point. In fact, Nate and I did a little emergency mini times ours that you weren't even available for. So I haven't spoken to you about Sammy Watkins in any way, shape, or form. So you haven't written about him as of late, but I would very much like to know what you think about the Chiefs bringing him back on that restructured deal.
Sure. You know, really, they clearly wanted him back badly. I continue to be slightly mystified as to why Sammy Watkins gets the semi-superstar treatment from them, while Chris Jones sits here unsigned. And it's probably annoying to people that I continue to beat at that same drum. But that's been a point of frustration for me, and I wonder if that's a point of frustration for Jones as well. Now, I don't know. I can't say for certain. You know, he hasn't told me that or anyone that I'm aware of. But it would be slightly frustrating. Now, I understand they're two different contract situations. I get that. But there was a lot of bending over backward to ensure Watkins could remain a Chief. And I get that that has just as much to do with Patrick Mahomes as it does Sammy Watkins. But it's got to be slightly frustrating when you are a bona fide superstar like Jones is. And make no mistake, he is. You know, you can ask, you know, we talked about some of the myths surrounding him last week. I mean, Chris Jones is a superstar on the defensive side of the ball. There's only a handful of players on that side of the ball that are better than him. And to still be kind of twisting the wind while you see probably what was Watkins, the sixth most important player on the offense last year, Mahomes, Kelce, Hill, Schwartz, and I would argue maybe Fisher, then Watkins. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. Yeah, I say it with that tone just because the case you're building here is a bit of a confusing one. You're right.
Right. So anyway, so I can see why he might be frustrated waiting. So anyway, I've talked about Chris Jones long enough. I do like that they brought back Watkins. They saved some money this year. I think they saved $5 million against the cap.
Yes, that's right.
Because the incentives, my understanding of incentives, if they're classified, is not likely to be earned. And a lot of his incentives, even though the Chiefs are a great team, they're tied to like winning the AFC Championship and that sort of thing. So those are classified as not likely to be earned. My understanding of those types of incentives, they do not count against the cap, even if he earns them.
Right. That's my understanding. We went through this in gory detail on Friday as I attempted to figure all of this out live on the radio. And and then, yeah, the incentives not likely to be earned, which I think might be all of them, which is determined by if they happened last year, those would only count against the cap next season. But his cap number is still so high because that $7 million number was going to be there regardless. And it is not real money.
Right. So they saved $5 million in theory when they could have saved $14 million in theory, I think it's something like that.
Yep,
so,
because
he was always going to count against them as seven, right?
Yes.
And now he counts against them as, you know, whether it's the...
Depending on the cap and spot track, don't agree 100%, but it's between 17 and 18.
Right. So they saved some money, which is great. It's not as much money as they could have saved just by cutting him outright, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's, I think, for me, and I actually had a lot of people get upset with me because my first thought on Twitter was, I'm not sure it's that's not maybe the way I would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, wow, you bring him back, you still save money. And I get that to a certain extent. Because once you save a few million dollars, then it's kind of the question was, well, who are you going to bring in for the $5 or $6 million you might have saved otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a valid point. It is still interesting to me, though, the view of Sammy Watkins in the Chiefs organization is definitely that of a key cog. He's being given, you know, I mean, he's making more money this year than Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with Tyreek Hill no longer on his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I get he's making more money than Travis Kelce, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that with Hill, you know, there's those extenuating things. You know, Hill is perceived as more of a risk for a variety of reasons. But it is interesting to me. I'm glad they brought him back. So I'm kind of coming across negative here. I'm glad they brought him back. I think it makes sense in a year where you don't know what you're going to get in terms of off-season preparation, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot's going to determine, you know, testing, what's available, that kind of stuff. And, you know, whether teams have a real off-season program. If they don't, continuity is kind of the new king.
Yep.
Because otherwise you're going to have teams that are spending half their season trying to install something new, right? Whereas if you keep everyone together, which I think this will give the Chiefs, is it 10 of 11 starters on offense coming back?
Yep. Just Wisniewski.
Maybe technically 11 of 11 if you don't view, Stefan Wisniewski. He didn't start off the year as a starter. So if Wiley earns the spot or Rankin, I mean, you've got a ton of guys returning, basically. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Every major player. And that includes multiple non-starters, too. So that could be a huge advantage as opposed to previous years where it's an advantage, but maybe not as much of one. So I'm willing to accept that. I think when you have Patrick Mahomes, having as many weapons as humanly possible is the right idea. And one thing that I think about this is with most quarterback coach combinations, there's a ceiling to what your offense can do. Like, you know, what your realistic ceiling can be. So here's an example I would give to that. So like, let's say like the 2003-2004 Chiefs, okay? Mm-hmm. Awesome offense, incredible offense, about as good as the current offense that they have, maybe not quite as good, right? Mm-hmm. That was as good as that offense could be with Trent Green as the quarterback and Al Saunders as the head coach, because Green was a good quarterback, but he had limitations, right? Mm-hmm. There's a ceiling to how good you can be, even if you have an all-pro everywhere offensive line and great weapons and all this stuff. My argument is that with Patrick Mahomes, that ceiling doesn't exactly exist. It does, but somewhere weird, right? Like somewhere like in the weird realm, especially with Andy Reid as his coach. So if I were to make an argument for keeping Sammy Watkins and for being willing to pay this amount of money, it's that there's really no ceiling with this offense, and the more weapons you give Patrick Mahomes, the better the offense is going to be with Andy Reid coaching it, as opposed to other offenses where I think you eventually reach a point of diminishing returns, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. First of all, two little things. One is I think I said it's between 17 and 18. It's between 16 and 17-ish from spot check to over the cap. And then also you mentioned Tyreek Hill. According to over the cap, Hill and Watkins' cap hits are almost identical. Like Tyreek Hill's making a smidge more, like 490 grand more. But they are right there in terms of cap hits. Tyreek Hill will make more cash this year, but we're not really talking about cash flow. We're not Clark Hunt. We don't really care about the cash flow. We care about the cap space.
Let's face it, Clark cares too, but I mean, he's good for it.
He's good. Yeah. Those checks will continue to clear for sure.
There's never going to be a question, at least in the next 10 years or so, barring some kind of catastrophe as to whether Clark Hunt's checks will clear.
That's correct. So among your points there, I think I've also been probably coming across a little bit conflicted throughout all of this, because I think that the points about the offseason being as messy as it is, it's certainly going to be messy. That's determined at this point. The extent of it is still up in the air. But the continuity being more important this offseason, I buy that. Keeping the ceiling as high as you can, I like that also. But I do think that this doesn't really qualify for the definitive statements that all of us made, myself included. He won't be back on $21 million. Well, he's coming back on 16. That is more than I thought. I thought that number would be significantly lower. I don't know if I was doing the math wrong in terms of making sure that $7 million that were locked in from previous years would still be there. Maybe we are being unrealistic in that regard. But yeah, if you told me now, you know, this is obviously sort of retroactive, but if you're like, hey, the Chiefs could cut Sammy Watkins now and free up another $9 million, or they could have gotten 14 at the beginning of free agency, and then maybe you bring in any number of those corners on one-year, $3 million deals. Maybe Bashaud Breeland is already back. Hell, you could have kept Kendall Fuller for that number if you wanted to. I don't think that was going to happen. But it was definitely less cap relief than I would have expected.
Absolutely, and that's what I mean where I say the Chiefs' treatment of Sammy Watkins to me, and it's nothing personal. I think he's a good player, mm-hmm. but. They treat him like he is a star,
Yep.
They did with the initial contract they gave him, and I understand that, you know, opinions can vary over who's lived up to what. And I'm not talking about box score analysis or anything like that. I understand Watkins does a number of things that don't show up in the box score. But anyone who watches the Chiefs offense, if you just talk from a film perspective, I don't think you'd find anyone that would call him one of the best five players on that offense. Yeah. And so it's interesting to me that he is getting a bit of the superstar treatment. Like, they clearly have a higher view of him than most fans do and most analysts. And, hey, you know, I mean, look, who am I to question Super Bowl-winning head coach Andy Reid? And so I think he'll do well. Hopefully he can stay healthy, but, you know, 2 years in a row now, he hasn't. And he's had stuff that's lingered. When he's been healthy, he's done a very good job. And obviously in the playoffs, he's played fantastic. But it is still an interesting thing in terms of team construction. Because for me, you know, if you're going to spend that kind of money on a receiver, I mean, crud, he should have, you know, I don't know, tried to trade a second rounder to Bill O'Brien for DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
Right? Like, right. If you're going to pay someone superstar money, I think they should be a star. I don't think you should pay a wide receiver $16 million in a year, even if it is a discount from the $21 million, right? That's yep. Kind of, we've talked about this concept before. You know, a discount off something that's overpriced, I mean, I don't know how much I really care about that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this order of fries is normally $300, but today it's only $20. It's like, well, that's a lot of savings, but they're still just fries.
Yeah.
And so, to me, if you're going to spend that kind of money on a receiver, I would prefer someone that moves the needle more than I think Watkins does. Now, apparently, Reed and Veach disagree. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. But it is frustrating for me, to an extent, seeing a non-superstar get superstar treatment.
Yeah, I think that's super, super fair. And I will note, you know, again, because Jones's first-year cap number would probably go down with a long-term deal, this doesn't necessarily affect him directly, but I think...
No, not at all.
But the point you made at the beginning, though, I think is very valid. But just for the sake of clarification for anyone who might not be, you know, not have over the cap set as their homepage, something worth noting.
And that's a really good point to note. Jones's hit right now is about $16.1 million.
Yeah.
If they sign him on a huge deal, that's going to go down. You know, Frank Clark's first year of his massive deal was like $7 or $8 million, I think.
Yep.
And that's how they've structured all their deals. So they would actually get themselves cap relief for this season by signing Jones to a long-term deal.
Let's talk about the move they made after they restructured the Sammy Watkins. You've got a film review up on The Athletic of Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end they brought in. And I will say, not to be like, I don't know what the opposite of alarmist would be, but like an alarmist in a positive sense. Not to totally hop down that road, but just within the first 30 minutes of them making this signing, and I was looking into just sort of the skill set, the transition from receiver to tight end coming out of college and all of that, I got a little bit excited about the possibilities of Ricky Seals-Jones being a contributor on this offense. So what did you see whenever you looked at him?
Sure. You know, the thing is, he's about what you'd expect with a receiver converted to tight end. He's not the blocker that you want, which I find interesting because a lot of the guys that they've brought on board, I feel as though, you know, they've wanted more blocking. I've been wondering lately, with the types of blocks that they have their tight ends generally perform, they're not often straight-on power blocks. You know, you've got them coming back around the formation or blocking in space, that sort of thing. Sometimes I wonder, with what they attempted to do with Demetrius Harris and some of the things they attempted to do with Blake Bell and Deion Yelder, and keep in mind, for as high-flying a reputation as the Chiefs have, they run 12 formation more than people think.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Bell was on the field almost 40% of the snaps last year.
That's
so this
impressive.
Is not a tiny role in the Chiefs' offense. Sometimes I wonder if they've been looking for more of an offensive threat. And just, you know, Harris was never quite able to live up to his athletic billing. You know, he had drops issues, that kind of thing. And Blake Bell did a decent job, but he just didn't move the needle much as a receiver. I wonder if Seals-Jones is an effort to get more athletic at the position.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what they're trying to do, you know, we'll see if he can beat out Deion Yelder, who I think has some potential. They definitely did get more athletic, because Seals-Jones can really move for a tight end. He doesn't have good explosion for a receiver. For a tight end, though, he gets off the line pretty quickly, and he's got very good top speed. So he can stretch up the seam very quickly and outrun linebackers very quickly. He also, once he gets the ball in space, he can accelerate and kind of mess with angles because he's faster than you'd think at his size. And so it's an interesting dynamic because if, and this is what I wrote about, he might, his weakness is he can't really separate on his own. He does not separate well. But the second tight end in Reed's offense has never really had to separate on
his
own.
Exactly.
That's
right.
The guy who's getting schemed open. And once he's schemed open, his unique athletic ability might allow him to do more with it than, say, a Blake Bell or a Deion Yelder or a Demetrius Harris. And so that, combined with his ability to stretch the field more than those guys, makes him for an interesting addition. I have no idea if he'll even make the team. I think this is kind of a one-year flyer thing. They thought, hey, he's really athletic. Maybe. But if he does make the team and he wins some playing time, he makes the offense even more dangerous because he is so athletic.
You have the stills of this play with him against the Bengals and the videos on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. And I was looking at the stills now. Since the last 30 seconds of your answer there, I've watched this play loop about 10 times. And it's the thing I would hold up to say, here's why this will work. Because to your point, the second tight end or fifth option in this offense, sixth maybe in some cases, doesn't need to beat anybody. He just needs to stand in the middle of the field and then be faster and bigger than some of these defenders. And that seems like it would work. Like, there's a little bit of, I'm not comparing him to Travis Kelce, please don't yell at me. There's a little bit of what Travis Kelce plays can look like whenever he's open and then has more athleticism than the other guys. But in this instance, obviously, there's a lot going on that makes him not nearly Travis Kelce again. But it gives you an excuse to have a tight end two who's faster than you would expect a tight end two to be, which in this offense is great news.
Yeah, great news. And I think it's important, you know, I love how many caveats you put on there. Comparing one trait does not mean you're comparing players. And people have got to get over that. That's like when people say, like, oh, Josh Allen has the arm strength of Mahomes. Well, he does.
He does.
That's not saying that he's as good as Mahomes or that he's as good at throwing off platform or that he's as accurate or that he reads defense well or basically anything else a quarterback needs to do.
Yep.
It's saying exactly what it says. He's got the arm strength of Mahomes because Josh Allen does. Josh Allen has a hose on him. That guy can throw the ball. Same with Matt Stafford. It's not an insult to compare one trait. And so for you to say he's as fast as Travis Kelce, well, for one, he's faster now because Kelce doesn't. If you go back and you watch like game clips from like 2015, Kelce's not quite as explosive as he used to be.
Yeah.
But he's a much better route runner. Still incredibly smooth, great, but he doesn't explode once he gets the ball the way he used to. And that's very noticeable now. You can see him get caught a little more often. But Seals Jones has that kind of explosion. Now, again, much like the Mahomes Allen, literally every aspect of being a tight end besides that, Kelce is exponentially better.
Sure.
But that explosive ability, it could add something. It'll just depend on whether he puts the rest of it together. He's in a position, though, where if he doesn't succeed here, it's going to be tough to get a job anywhere else if he doesn't at least, you know, perform at a baseline level in Kansas City, because he's got the excuse with the Browns. They had a disaster of a season. But 2 years before that, he was with the Cardinals before Kyler Murray and their current offensive system. You know, he got, you know, Mike Glennon throwing him the ball. So he's got excuses for a lack of production. In Kansas City, you're not going to get those same excuses.
Yep. And the one other thing here is also, I don't even really want to be comparing him to Travis Kelce, because if Travis Kelce gets hurt, the Chiefs are bleeped in that department. But if you take this play that I keep, now I'm just scrubbing through to do the math in my head on yardage, if Blake Bell catches this pass, it probably goes 8 to 10 yards less than with Seals Jones catching this pass. So, you know, that's... it's April, all right? Everybody calm down.
it's worth considering. Finding hidden yardage like that's a big deal. It's kind of like people talk about Damian Williams. One of Damian Williams' traits is that when he's got good blocking, he can gain extra yardage because he's explosive and he's fast.
Yep.
Speed is like one of the predicates of the Chiefs' offense, and I kind of like that they're looking to double down on it.
I also really do want to talk to you. We don't have a ton of time left, but I really do want to talk to you about your Frank Clark piece, because I kind of had a thought of, like, why is Seth writing about Frank Clark? And then I thought about it more. It's like, I'm glad that Seth is writing about Frank Clark because, I mean, your opening thesis in this article is that it's easy to understate what Frank Clark did for the Chiefs last season. And as someone who tries to not over or understate many things regarding the Chiefs, I think I might be in that camp a little bit, and I know I'm not alone in maybe writing off Frank Clark a little more often than I should, you know, even after he got healthy. Why did you choose to write about that, and then what do you want people to take away? Again, you can read it up at The Athletic right now.
Sure. So I just, as often happens to me, I find these debates on good old Twitter.com, and I often come across arguments, and I come across things. You know, it's a good way to see what's currently in the discussion for Chiefs fans, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it came across my, you know, my screen or whatever, but basically people were arguing about Frank Clark. And I didn't realize before that time that there is a vocal segment of Chiefs fans that think Frank Clark was a bad signing. Still, mm-hmm. I thought that went away post-Super Bowl, and post-playoffs, but there's a large contingent of people that think that he really didn't contribute anything until the playoffs, outside of maybe one game. And so I thought, you know, I just don't know if that's true, because someone had referenced the Ravens game and the final sack that he had on Lamar Jackson, and it was a really pivotal play. And so I went back and rewatched that, and it was a nice move and all that fun stuff. And I kind of thought to myself, I feel like I remember Clark closing out some other games, much like he did in the playoffs. And so that led to me just going back and rewatching every fourth quarter of close games just to see, you know, whether or not, you know, he did maybe play more of a role than I thought. And that's what I found is you go to fourth quarter after fourth quarter of close games, including when he was hurt, and even in some losses, like the Colts game, it was Clark who made a couple big plays that allowed the Chiefs even a chance to come back in that game, forced a field goal rather than a touchdown late with the Colts. And you know, the Chiefs didn't come back, so people forget, right?
Yeah.
Similar with the Titans game. You know, he made the sack or a stop that allowed the Chiefs to get the ball back where they should have really won that game. But then, of course, thanks to a couple of, you know, a muff kick and a block kick, all this craziness, they didn't. And because of that, people kind of forgot. And so I was just amazed going back how many big fourth quarter plays he made. And I thought, you know, it'd be good to get Frank his due, because I think a lot of people don't realize how important he was throughout the year, even before he got fully healthy.
Yeah. It's a good cause, and the clips throughout it are really fun, because I've also, like I said, I found it a little bit easy, I think, to forget some of these moments from Clark. And I also think that maybe this is, God, I hope this doesn't end up sounding like a self-own, but like the amount of time that you and I spend talking about Chris Jones and that, like, feeling the need to remind people that he is actually good, I feel like it just sort of takes away my Chiefs defensive line energy or something. To be like, hey, look, we'll talk about Frank Clark later, but can we get Chris Jones done? And that's why I think maybe that's happened to me.
I don't know.
I don't know. Also, the world's on fire, so maybe that's it. All right, go read Seth's article up at The Athletic. You can see the Frank Clark article, and then obviously also the film review on Ricky Seals-Jones. I think it'll make Chiefs fans who are looking for something to be excited about pretty happy. But now we need to talk about this fast food thing. The pick three, you know, other ones go away forever charts are owning Twitter right now, and they're great for content. And then this one here is a fast food, like, tic-tac-toe chart, you know, with one on each spot. There are 9 fast food places here. Your options are Taco Bell, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, Burger King, Subway, McDonald's, Arby's, Wendy's, and Panda Express. Seth, what are your 3 choices from that list?
From that list, I picked, and it wasn't even hard for me, I picked Burger King, McDonald's, and Chick-fil-A.
You went Burger King and McDonald's. That feels a little bit redundant.
You know, it is a little bit redundant. And here's the thing with Burger King. Burger King, by and large, I don't really like most of their menu, which seems odd that I would pick it. But
sure,
here's
does.
The deal. I love the Bacon King.
Okay.
The Bacon King is a good sandwich. It's a lot of food, but it's a good sandwich. Because they don't scrimp on the bacon like most of these bacon right. places do. You know, you go to Wendy's, you get the Baconator. It's like, oh, thank you for two strips of bacon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a cheeseburger with a couple slices of bacon. Great. At Burger King, you get the Bacon King. You get like eight strips of bacon. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I really like that. And they have Cinnaminis. Those two things carried what? Burger King. Because like, I judge this. What can't I live without? And I can live without Wendy's. I can do it. I can live without Subway. Some sick people were putting Subway. I'm very concerned for them.
We need to talk about Matt Verderam's list in just a second. What's a Cinnamini?
A Cinnamini? They're like little miniature cinnamon rolls.
I don't eat Burger King very often.
Oh, yeah, Burger King. They've got Cinnaminis and toast sticks also. They're delicious. And so that, to me, I almost forgot about the French toast sticks. That's on me. They got great French toast sticks, which is an amazing breakfast, obviously. They got good Cinnaminis are amazing, and the Bacon King is excellent. So that those things, I was like, I don't want to live without those. McDonald's, I am here to defend the honor of McDonald's. Because snobs everywhere, I think it's just become popular to hate on McDonald's. You know what? You don't become the number one food franchise in the world by being bad, Joshua. McDonald's is hashtag actually good, and everyone's just pretending they don't like it because they are ashamed. You know what? I'm not ashamed. I like McDonald's. I think McDonald's is tasty. I like that McDonald's, unlike other places, it really does taste the same everywhere you go.
That's true.
It's astonishing. And their fries, come on. You know, there's like a backlash against McDonald's fries at this point. Come on. McDonald's fries are amazing. They just are. You can eat. I actually once decided to see how many of those things I would get. Because you always felt like it's never enough.
Yeah.
You know, you eat your large fry and you're like, oh, it wasn't quite enough. And then you eat your large fry and some of the leftovers from some of your kids, you're like, oh, it's still not quite enough. So finally one day, I don't know, I had a little extra cash or something. I was like, you know what? I'm going to order four large orders of fries to go along with my burger. I'm going to find out how much is enough. Turns out about three.
What?
And then you start going, you know, this doesn't taste as good. So anyway, that's why McDonald's. And then Chick-fil-A, I get it. People don't want to pick Chick-fil-A because, you know, the pendulum swings. Chick-fil-A is incredible, and I'm just not going to live without it. Plus, I've got my brand to think about.
That's true. If you wouldn't have picked Chick-fil-A, the order you said it all in was strange, and so I thought you might have not been picking Chick-fil-A, and you would have never heard from me again. Not because I would have been mad, but just because I would have felt like I never truly knew you.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually did it purposefully that way just to freak you out a little bit.
I was terrified.
So, you know, you got to pick it for the brand. But, you know, the reality is Chick-fil-A, there's a reason why, you know, despite at times, even when they've taken stances on things that people don't really like or whatever, you know, diving into politics on accident or on purpose, depending on how you want to view it, people still keep eating there.
It's delicious. It's one
of those can't be quit situations. Yeah. And plus, everyone there is always so friendly, man. That matters. They really are. Now, I know you have a different relationship with Chick-fil-A.
I do, because I was one of those people forced to be friendly. However, it's delicious.
Oh, my gosh, the horror.
It's it gets old. It gets old. I'll say it gets old. But, no, I think Chick-fil-A is probably the strongest. Did you ever have Popeye's chicken sandwich?
You know what? I haven't. I've heard good things. My problem is, this is going to sound a certain way. You know how everyone has like that friend that you can predict what music and what song they will or won't like just based on what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, your counterculture friend.
Yeah, that's
like, you know, your friend was like, you know, now you would have been a little young for this, but you know, your friend was like, oh, I used to love Blink-182 before they sold out. Oh, right. I used to love blah, blah, blah before they got popular. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I can't help but notice it's all the counterculture people that I know that are insisting that Popeyes is way better. And I can't help but believe that it's partly because people just want to be different.
Okay, so two things. First of all, as one of your countercultural friends, I'm going to tell you, I've only had that sandwich once. It was outstanding. It's an extremely good sandwich. I also had Chick-fil-A more recently. It's all good. It's all really good. You should have the Popeye's sandwich because it's just very good. You can decide if you go up and play better, that's fine, but it's a very good sandwich. The other thing is I think it became too popular to qualify for that anymore. I think it came back around again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the pendulum swung, and then it kind of did a 180. And now it's the pendulum is drunk, as it were.
That's exactly what it is. Seth, thank you for being here. And in honor of my my earlier life at Chick-fil-A, I'll tell you that having you on the show today was my pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
There we go. We got our taglines. End of segment.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're a buffet today. Yes. That's a great call, and we are absolutely shoving it down your throat.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment of the show tonight here on Almost Entirely Sports. We'll be back tomorrow from 7 to 10. We'll talk to Matt Verderam at 7:30. Because of his answers to a question that I'm about to ask Rudy. This is a Barstool thing, which is fine. But it's one of the pick three. Rest of them have to go sort of chart. We talked about with Seth Kaiser last segment. Of 9 fast food restaurants. Now, we need to lay down a couple of ground rules. And honestly, I wish... now retroactively that we would have called Beards, but I didn't think about it until just now, so we're going to have a lopsided pick here as Rudy and I do a two-person draft because I like drafting things. And what we need to establish here, Rudy, is I'd like to get our top threes afterwards to kind of actually play the game honestly, but are we playing this because this matters? Are we playing this is the only food you can eat forever, or just the other 6 places for you disappear or turn into the ones you do pick?
I would say, I think the point of it is it's like you choose 3 and the other 6 are just gone. You have no choice of ever eating other 6 again.
But not taking a burger place wouldn't take away all burgers.
No, yeah.
It just takes away Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's, whatever.
Like, you can still... we can also go to Slim's. It's not this list. It's but, important. You know, like, if you don't pick Popeyes, can't go to Popeyes.
Right. Okay, well, I gave you this idea during the break. Have you compiled a written big board, or are you just going off the top of the dome here?
I've thought about it a little bit over the day, so it's a little bit of both, I would say. I haven't, like, fully deep dived into this, but I've also, there's not no thought, you know? I'm a little bit David Gettleman. I'm trusting my gut. I've done a little bit of homework. But,
right.
You know,
I've done a lot of homework on this issue.
But we're going into it, though, you know, mostly unprepared. Not mostly unprepared. Prepared. You feel like you're prepared enough, and we'll see where the cards fall.
I have written out a big board, and I don't feel great about it, but I've written it down. Okay, so we're going to do a draft of these 9s, which means we'll each end up with 4, and then 1 will disappear for both of us. And then we can give our actual top 3s. All right, hit the music. Rudy, I'm really sorry. Your original creations just have not been Beard's quality.
Felt like that was an unnecessary stab.
It's just every time it's jarring to me how much less pleasant this one is.
I don't know about that.
All right, so we're going snake draft here. Somebody picks first. Someone gets picks 2 and 3.
Yeah, snake draft for sure.
Okay, hold on. I haven't considered how I want to establish... this. All right, I've got my Psyduck AirPods case. I'm going to flip it. Are you going to go face up or rear up?
Yeah, I'll go heads.
Is that the face? That's probably the face. Yeah, heads or tails makes
heads
sense.
Heads or tails, because Psyduck has a tail.
Yeah, you're right. Well, not on the case, but that's okay. Well, you're going heads?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna flip it. It's heads.
There we go.
Do you want the first pick or pick 2 and 3?
I want pick 2 and 3.
Oh, this really screws up my board. I really wanted the turnaround. Damn. I'm taking Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A number 1 overall.
Okay. I am then going with my 2nd overall pick, Popeyes.
Yep.
I felt good about that because I thought you were going to go Chick-fil-A, and Popeyes is what I wanted.
Here's what I did. I wrote down by Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, I wrote down QB. Because if you would have gotten Chick-fil-A at one, I was going Popeyes at two. I was not leaving here without one of them.
And then with my next pick, I'm going to go with Taco Bell.
I knew it. Damn you, Rudy Salazar. Damn you, Rudy Salad Bar. Damn it. Here's the thing. I don't think Taco Bell's the best use of the time here. It's not the best thing on the board. But, man, it comes through clutch.
So many times.
Oh, I got to do my next two picks in a row.
Yeah, you do.
One of these restaurants has something the other ones just don't have at the same level. And that's breakfast food. And I love breakfast food. I'm going to go McDonald's. And I'm going to go unique again. I've got a place that theoretically has burgers. I don't really eat them at McDonald's ever. But I'm going Arby's. I'm going Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Arby's.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It makes my decision a little easy because I was deciding between Wendy's and Arby's with my next pick. Yep. And I'm going to roll with Wendy's.
Okay, and then your last pick is going to be between... I didn't mention the board. What's left on the board right now is Burger King, Panda Express, and Subway.
Yes, Burger King, Panda Express, Subway. This is a little tough.
I feel pretty good about my spot now.
I don't have like a super strong feeling towards necessarily any of these, but I'm gonna roll with Panda Express.
I was leaning that way because it is unique. I never really eat there though, so I'll get Chinese food elsewhere.
Same.
That's fine.
I think I've had it like twice, but like it's always been fine.
And then I'll go. I guess I ended up with a lot of red meat because I'll take Burger King here because I don't need Subway. I got better sandwich places.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. I think I would have went with Subway over Burger King, but I don't like dislike Subway by any means, but it's not,
yeah,
there's just always going to be other places.
Yep, 100%. So what was your original three then? What was your actual three? You can only choose three, the other six of these go. Taco Bell, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, Burger King, Subway, McDonald's, Arby's, Wendy's, Panda.
Probably Taco Bell, Popeyes, McDonald's. Maybe throw in like Wendy's over McDonald's, but Taco Bell, Popeyes, definitely top two. Probably Mickey D's six. A little variety in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going. I said this to Seth.
You know what?
That Popeye's sandwich is incredible.
Real fast, I'm gonna switch it up. I'm just going 1, 2, 3.
Oh, talk about Popeye's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I'm gonna double check, and you can't go wrong with that. And Chick-fil-A is better than McDonald's. I went with McDonald's just to be different.
Here's the thing: that Popeye's chicken sandwich was excellent, but I've had it once, and I do want it again. But here's the thing. Here's where I have to be true to myself. Chick-fil-A, I'm taking. But then Taco Bell and McDonald's are the places that are of this list. They would leave the biggest void. Because sometimes you need McDonald's breakfast at 11 p.m. Sometimes you need Taco Bell at 2.
We're flipping this again. I'm going back to number 6. Give me McDonald's over Chick-fil-A. Popeye's biscuits are amazing. Like I've had their lunches enough times, like not the sandwich. It's really good.
Yeah.
Underrated.
I mean, I would happily just eat Popeyes forever. That's not... I'm not making a Popeyes stance so much. I'm saying Chick-fil-A for, you know, the special occasions. And then Taco Bell and McDonald's, because those are the right or
fancy dates.
Yeah. Oh, I am going to miss Arby's, though. I'm going to have to find some other roast beef sandwiches. Curly fries are gone. Oh, God. I'm second-guessing everything. We'll talk about it again tomorrow, at least a little bit. We'll talk to you at 7. Bye, Mom!